Welcome to the Reasoned Hope Podcast. In this podcast, we explore the intellectual credibility of the Christian faith. We seek to show how the central hope found in Jesus Christ is not only rational, but that the Christian worldview makes sense of our experience, our deepest longings, and our intuitions about the world. Thanks for listening, and we hope today's episode is both encouraging and challenging to you, whether you are a believer or a skeptic.
Welcome, and thank you for joining me for this episode of the Reasoned Hope Podcast, where we present a thoughtful approach to Christianity. In today's episode, I'm going to be reading an essay that I wrote on the God of the Gaps objection to arguments for God's existence. If you look into the topic of God's existence and the various arguments for God's existence, you will eventually come upon this critique, as it is very popular with many skeptics who seem to think that this is a serious challenge to the legitimacy of arguments for the existence of God. So I just wanted to take time today to read this that deals with this particular objection to arguments for God's existence. The question of God's existence is one of the most fascinating and important questions human beings have. As with all important questions, there are varying opinions as to its answer. Naturally, people engage in argument and discussion concerning which view is correct. The discussion surrounding God's existence is no exception, and arguments for the existence of God have a long historical pedigree. They are both philosophical and scientific arguments, which aim to show there is good evidence to believe in a personal creator. These are arguments such as the cosmological, design, and moral arguments. We could go on to list many others, including the argument from reason, the argument from desire, and the argument from beauty. Such arguments serve two main purposes. One is to strengthen the faith of those who already believe in God. If, as the Bible teaches, the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of His hands, then we should expect to find reasons to believe in Him from the natural world. For example, the design argument appeals to the complexity of the world in which we live, including its fine-tuning for life and the information in DNA, and argues this points towards a mind behind these features of reality. The second purpose of theistic arguments is to challenge other worldviews. In a day when many believe science has shown God does not exist, atheism, or that God is an impersonal divine energy, pantheism, theistic arguments counter these perspectives with scientific and philosophical reasoning. As with all contentious philosophical and theological issues, there are objections to each of these arguments. Some are better than others, and it is important to consider the best objections to each argument when evaluating them for strengths and weaknesses. Not all of these objections are created equal, however. Some objections are simply shallow and completely miss the point of the argument they attempt to criticize. Despite this, many bad objections to theistic arguments are repeated and continue to find a hearing. The result is that people reject them without taking the time to understand the argument in question. In this article, I want to look at one example of a bad objection to arguments for God's existence. This is known as the God of the Gaps objection. The God of the Gaps objection to theistic arguments says that these arguments are based on a logical fallacy. The fallacy at the heart of theistic arguments, according to many skeptics, is that the arguments posit God to fill a gap in knowledge. For example, the cosmological argument says the origin of the universe is explained by God bringing it into existence. On this view, the fact the universe came into existence out of nothing is good evidence to believe that someone caused this to happen. However, according to the God of the Gaps critique, this is merely an assertion based on the idea that we do not know how the universe could have arisen by purely natural causes. On similar grounds, skeptics reject the design argument. While many people have found the argument as persuasive evidence for God's existence, skeptics claim it simply posits God to explain something for which we do not yet have a naturalistic explanation. The atheist writer Julian Begini expresses this perspective when he writes in his book, Atheism, A Very Short Introduction, quote, "The cosmological and teleological arguments are examples of the perennial temptation to hypothesize a God of the gaps, where God is used to explain what we cannot currently explain." End quote. Overall, then, the objection says that theistic arguments have the following form. They take some feature of the universe, claim we do not know how it could be explained naturalistically, then posit God did it as the final explanation. In essence, the God of the Gaps critique reduces theistic arguments to arguments from ignorance. This flows from the idea they are based on what we don't know about some feature of the universe. So, this means supernatural explanations for any feature of the universe are ultimately based upon ignorance of the cause. If this is true, it means there is nothing substantive to commend belief in God, but only an appeal to ignorance and mystery. While many skeptics hold this is a solid critique of theistic arguments, it has a number of fatal flaws upon closer inspection. The God of the Gaps objection has two main flaws. The first is that theistic arguments are not based upon ignorance, but upon what we do know about the universe. It is ironic that with all its appeal to the concept of ignorance, those who promote the objection reveal an ignorance of theistic arguments. This is not to be condescending in any way, but merely to point out that those who think theistic arguments are based upon ignorance are simply mistaken. For example, the cosmological argument does not claim there is a supernatural cause behind the universe simply because we do not know how this could have occurred naturalistically. Rather, it argues, on the basis of philosophical and scientific evidence, we have positive reasons to hold there is a mind behind the universe. So, this means the argument claims a supernatural cause on the basis of what we do know from science and philosophy. In addition, the cosmological argument engages various naturalistic theories of the origin of the universe, and it shows how these theories fail to account for the evidence we have, and thus do not provide a better explanation than theism for the origin of the universe. Scientists used to hold the universe was eternal, and then it was discovered it had a beginning in the finite past. The nature of this beginning is that space, time, and matter all came into existence at this point in the past. As such, there cannot in principle be a naturalistic cause for the universe because there was literally nothing before it began. Like the cosmological argument, the design argument is also not rooted in ignorance. Rather, it says that based upon the fine-tuning of the cosmos and the information in DNA, a certain cause is required, namely intelligence. Our experience has repeatedly shown that when we encounter specified complexity in the world, the cause is always an intelligent cause. Thus, when we discover the universe is finely tuned for life, and there is information in DNA, we are rational to infer an intelligent cause. In addition, we know that purely natural causes do not produce such specified complexity. So, here we see that instead of being based upon ignorance, the design argument is rooted in scientific and philosophical reasoning about the evidence we have from such investigations. It is also important to emphasize that these arguments engage with objections from skeptics as well and show why naturalistic theories fail to explain what needs to be explained. Thus, theistic arguments are not based upon ignorance, but upon what we do know from the evidence we currently have. The second reason the God of the Gaps objection fails is that it is frequently based upon a false narrative. Many skeptics claim that science has been slowly encroaching upon the realm of the supernatural and demonstrating it is irrational to believe in supernatural causes. People used to attribute thunder to deities and epilepsy to demon possession. However, now we know that thunder is a result of lightning, and epilepsy is caused by physical problems in the brain. The idea is that as history has progressed, we have had less and less need to appeal to the supernatural to explain things in the universe. Increasingly, scientific investigation has uncovered material causes for things we used to attribute to supernatural agency. For skeptics who buy into this narrative, arguments for God's existence are ill-conceived attempts to attribute the supernatural to what can ultimately be explained by naturalistic causes. On this view, those who find support for their belief in God upon such arguments are trying to keep a house of cards standing. The grain of truth at the heart of this narrative is that throughout human history, people have attributed supernatural causes to things which had no supernatural activity behind them. Thunder and lightning are not caused by the god Thor, for example. And while the subject of demonic activity is an entire topic in and of itself, which requires nuance, it is not clear that cases of epilepsy can always be attributed to the demonic. So, those defending theistic arguments can agree with the skeptic on this core truth. However, this narrative of secularization, science closing the door on supernatural explanations, is a simplistic and rhetorical manipulation of the history of science and belief in God. For starters, a theistic worldview was a key motivator for the early pioneers of science in the 16th and 17th centuries. Scientists like Isaac Newton, Johannes Kepler, and Robert Boyle, among others, were believers in God. And it was their belief in God which drove them to investigate the world he had created. The idea that somehow science and God were in conflict would have been completely foreign to them. In addition, further scientific discoveries have only increased the plausibility of theism. The fact that our universe had a beginning in the finite past, that information is at the very base of biological life and the fine-tuning of the universe, that the origin of biological life requires information, and the nature of consciousness all challenge naturalism and point towards theism. The perspective that science and belief in God are somehow at war with one another is traced back to two writers in the 19th century, John William Draper and Andrew Dixon White. Draper wrote History of the Conflict Between Religion and Science, and White wrote A History of the Warfare of Science with Theology in Christendom. These two works are largely responsible for this warfare narrative, and the history they present is misleading at best and revisionist at worst. Another important point here is the skeptic's narrative presumes that simply because some attributions of supernatural causes were mistaken, this means it is likely that all such attributions are mistaken. Just because some people in antiquity attributed thunder and lightning to the activity of their gods, this by itself does not indicate it is always mistaken to affirm a supernatural cause for anything. Whether or not it is rational to affirm a supernatural cause for anything depends entirely on what phenomena is under investigation. It also depends upon what reasons are given to believe there is a supernatural cause versus a natural cause. So, the skeptic cannot make sweeping generalizations about causality with this narrative of science and the supernatural. Moreover, the very concept of a supernatural cause must be clarified in such discussions. Natural causes refer to the activity of blind, impersonal forces, which result in a given phenomena in the world. Many rock formations in the world were formed through erosion, as water passed over them for long periods of time. Supernatural causes refer to the activity of a personal agent beyond the natural world. They are personal explanations, as opposed to explanations based on physical forces. Personal explanations are a perfectly legitimate category of explanation and are used all the time in courtrooms as well as daily life. Prosecutors piece together the evidence they have and conclude, based on this evidence, that someone is guilty of a crime committed. Natural forces were not the cause of the crime, but a person's willful decision and activity. Thus, when theistic arguments appeal to supernatural causes, the claim is that a personal cause better explains some given feature of the universe, as opposed to a material cause. A final point is worth mentioning. In discussions surrounding science and supernatural causes, it is frequently the case that skeptics will reject God as an explanation even if a naturalistic explanation is highly implausible. In other words, many skeptics hold that it is more rational to hold out for a naturalistic explanation than to embrace a theistic explanation. Thus, we may not have a naturalistic explanation for the origin of the universe now, but if we give scientists enough time, we will. Such a position amounts to begging the question in favor of naturalism. It assumes there can always be a naturalistic explanation for everything, even if at present all the scientific evidence and philosophical reasoning goes against it. Rather than being led by the evidence and the search for the best explanation for a given phenomena, in this case the origin of the universe, this is clinging to one's presupposed philosophy in opposition to the evidence. In conclusion, while there will always be debates surrounding arguments for the existence of God, it is important to recognize those critiques which pose legitimate challenges to the arguments. Part of this is also having the ability to discern criticisms which lack force. We have seen that the God of the Gaps objection to theistic arguments does not pass critical scrutiny. It thrives on a fundamental misunderstanding of theistic arguments, a dubious history of science and religion, and an imprecise view of supernatural causes. With these things in perspective, it is plain that the God of the Gaps critique poses no challenge to arguments for God's existence. Well, thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Reason Hope podcast today. I hope that the essay on the God of the Gaps objection to arguments for God's existence was helpful for you. Maybe it's given you some important things to think about. If this is a podcast that you enjoy, please follow it wherever you listen to the podcast app, whether that is on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere else. Be sure to leave a positive review, as well as tell other people who you think might be interested in this show. ReasonHopePodcast.com is the website where you can find blogs and the episodes. ReasonHopePodcast@gmail.com is the contact email address if you want to get in touch with me. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to reach out as well. And remember that there is reason for hope in Jesus Christ.